John chapter 9 here this morning. John chapter 9. In fact, I forgot, I wanted you to look up another hymn here. Hymn number 391. This hymn goes right with the message here today. 391, the light of the world. Three different times in the Gospel of John, we see that Jesus Christ refers to himself as the light of the world. In fact, at the top of the hymnal here, this hymn here says, I am come a light into the world. But we're also going to see this in chapter 9, but in John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus announces, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Even as we think about the words to the refrain, Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Here's the statement, Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. That's actually a statement taken from John chapter 9, as we see here the healing of the blind man. Now, as we consider the context of where we're at in the Gospel of John, we see an ongoing conflict. Now, in this passage, we see that the blind man was changed. Let's look at the first seven verses here by way of introduction, as we see that this life that was changed, and we see the power of a changed life, a testimony of a changed life. It says in verse 1 and following, And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now, that's very significant. Hang on to that statement. We're going to come back to that. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, notice the statement again, I am the light of the world. Again, John 8, 12. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. As you notice here this passage, we see that as this passage develops, we see this blind man has a confrontation with these Jewish leaders also. Now, probably one of the key reasons is because Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. Again, he's violating man-made commands regarding the Sabbath. Now, Jesus could have chosen to heal this man on any day of the week, and yet he chose the Sabbath day, the Jewish Sabbath. I believe there's a reason why he did that. Again, he is confronting these Jewish leaders in their unbelief. Now, as we consider this man and and the change that takes place in his life, he has a powerful testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want for us to see in this passage is how you can also have a testimony for Christ that gets people's attention. Whether they believe or not, that's between them and God. But for you to have a testimony that gets their attention, they have to listen, they have to consider what you have to say. First of all, allow God to use you. Allow God to use you. It says in verse 1, As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now, we would say that he has a disability. Now, let me just say it this way. The political correct terms change constantly. I have trouble keeping up with it all. You know, different people groups have different names and different titles. You know, now Redskins is offensive, even though there was a pro football team that had the name Redskins for decades. But, you know, now it constantly is changing, whatever is politically correct at the moment. But here, notice here, he was blind from his birth. Now, in this culture, there was an assumption made. Even his disciples had this assumption. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? Now, listen to this question. This man or his parents that he was born blind? Now, I could see them maybe asking the question if he was made blind later in life. Maybe he did something that caused his blindness. But they're asking the question, who sinned, the parents or this man that he was born blind? In other words, they're asking the silly question, the ridiculous question, did this man sin in the womb? The obvious question, notice, they made an assumption here. And I believe this assumption occasionally comes up even in our day. Suffering is caused by sin, the curse of sin. I see that in Scripture. But sometimes the assumption is made that person is going through difficulty because they're in sin. And I remember there was a situation years ago, and I had a lady because we were having some trials in our lives, I had a lady actually say to me, "Well, you must be outside of the will of God because look at all the problems you're having in your life." You know what I said to her? I said, "Actually, that tells me I'm right in the center of God's will, because there's somebody who doesn't like us going forward for the gospel of Jesus Christ." But notice here again, this assumption is made that suffering is caused by sin. That's exactly what Job's three friends did. Remember, it says for 7 days they sat with him and they comforted him and everything. And then it says Job cursed his day. In other words, he cursed the day he was born. And basically, Job is saying, I wish I'd never been born if I'm going to suffer all this. Of course, he didn't know the rest of the story. He didn't understand it all. I don't believe he fully understood that even until he got to heaven. Because, see, we don't see all the conversations that's going on up in heaven. And I've jokingly said, you know, "God, please don't bring up my name before Satan like you did Job." But you notice here again, his three friends made the assumption that Job was in sin, and that's why he was suffering so much. Basically, Job had to spend time defending himself to the point where he became self-righteous. And that's when God had to step in and say, "Who are you? Where were you when I created the world and the universe and all these things?" But again, we see here the assumption that's made that disability or suffering is caused by sin. It says in verse 3, Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents." Now, that does not mean they were sinless. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, this blindness is not caused by sin. But notice here the purpose. The purpose for trials should be this: but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, you think about the trials and the suffering and the difficulties that some of the people in our church have. God wants to get glory out of those situations. In fact, as I was doing some study, I was reminded of this statement that someone has made: God is too loving to be unkind. He is too wise to make mistakes. Let me say that again. Because many times we have to be reminded of this as we're going through trials in our lives. God is too loving to be unkind. He is too wise to make mistakes. You see, many times God allows and even brings trials into our lives for his purpose. Again, we see in this passage here in verse 3, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That is why he was born blind. This man probably, the Bible doesn't say how old he was. This man probably went decades begging in a blind state. Probably one trying to understand why he was born blind, why he could not see like others, why he could not go to work like others. Jesus says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day." Notice the urgency that he has here as far as the work of God. "The night cometh when no man can work." God's perfect timing also. "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Again, I'm pointing out here as we go through the Gospel of John, these "I am" statements. "When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay." Now, let me ask you, why didn't Jesus speak his healing? He's done it before. He even from a distance raised up a sick child. Why did he not speak his sight into existence? I believe there's a reason why. Remember again, he's doing this on the Sabbath day to make a point. In fact, constantly he's having to make a point with the religious leaders. He says, "You hypocrites, you'll lead your livestock out to watering, but yet you have a problem with somebody receiving their sight or having a healing on the Sabbath day." He would constantly confront them in their hypocrisy. I believe there's a reason why he stooped down here. You know, we think this is kind of gross, but the Bible says this is what he did, right? He took spittle and made some clay out of it and put it on the man's eyes. Then what does he say? "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is being interpreted "sent." The name Siloam means sent. Now let me point out a couple of things here. What if this man did not go? Would he have received his sight? No. Now I want you to notice two things here that this man had to have: faith and obedience. This man has never seen the light of day. He was born blind. He's never seen the light of day. That takes a lot of faith. So Jesus Is there somebody who can lead me there? Because I'm ready to go. I want to see. Faith and obedience. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You think about the gospel. I believe that's true for the gospel as well. Someone must believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. But then they must apply that faith to action in their lives. Believe. There's a command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. See, that's a conditional promise. God wants everyone to be saved. But everyone individually must accept it for themselves. But again, I want to emphasize that we must allow God to use us if we're going to have a powerful testimony for Him. Second of all, notice also here in verses 8 and following, we must testify to our neighbors about Jesus. Notice it says, the neighbors, therefore. Those around Him. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen Him that was blind said, is not this He that sat and begged? Some said, this is He. Others said, He is like Him, but He said, I am He. Now, I want you to consider here that after this man has received his sight, he's now walking about without his cane. He doesn't have to have anybody lead him around. It's obvious that there's been a change in this man's life. As he begins to testify to his neighbors about what Jesus did in his life, all of a sudden there's different reactions. And let me just say this, as you testify of Jesus Christ working in your life, you also will get varied reactions. First of all, there might be doubt. Is this blind man? Notice some of the discussion that takes place. Is not this He that sat and begged? Some said, this is He. Yeah, that's Him. Others said, He is like Him. He must have a twin or something. But He said, I am He. This man kept saying, I am the blind man that has now has sight. But nobody wanted to, some did not even want to believe Him. Some had doubt. Some will not want to believe as you testify of Jesus Christ also. They will have doubt. In fact, especially after somebody's lived a pretty rough life and they come to Jesus Christ and life is transformed and changed, we'll just give it some time. We'll just give it a little while and you'll be back. Doubt. Also notice demands in verse 10. Therefore said they unto Him, how were thine eyes opened? Now, He's already told them, obviously. How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. There are some who are going to be asking questions of us as we testify for Jesus Christ. Like, where was God when that earthquake took place? And thousands of people were killed. I thought you said God is a loving God. They'll make demands. Where was God when that tsunami hit and swept thousands of people off into the sea? Where was God? People will make demands as you testify for Jesus Christ. They will make demands. In fact, I just read an article here this last week talking about the light of the world, Jesus Christ being the light. That man has been given light. And it was written from the perspective of an atheist who's demanding of God answers to their questions. Refusing to believe. It's not a problem of believing. They are refusing to believe and they're finding excuses as to why they will not believe. Some will make demands. Why does God allow suffering? All you have to do is go to a children's hospital. And someone will have questions. Your God is a loving God? Let me remind you again. God is too wise to make mistakes. God is too loving to be unkind. Some will make demands. Verse 12. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. Now, pause there just a moment. We have this idea that you have to be a theologian, you have to be a preacher before you can testify for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe a young Christian can tell what they know. He's telling what he knows. I was blind, now I see. That's what he knows at this point. He doesn't even know totally who Jesus is because he's never seen him with his own two eyes. He does not have to know everything about Jesus. He does not have to know all the doctrines of the Bible before he can testify for Jesus Christ. You notice here it says, I know not. You do not have to know everything in order for you to testify for Christ. And when somebody asks you a question you don't have the answer to, you have one or two answers you can give. I don't know yet, I will check it out, or I'll go ask the preacher. That's usually what happens. But a new convert can testify for Christ even though they do not know everything. Verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Uh-oh, now there's problems. The religious leaders are now brought into this whole situation. All right, so they're asking him, you know, how he got his sight, how he received his sight. Verse 14. Before the Pharisees, notice it says, it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. This has been going on since John chapter 5. And I believe, again, Jesus did this on purpose. He had six other days he could have healed this blind man. He chose the Sabbath day. Not only that, but he did not speak his sight. He made clay. To the Pharisees, that was working on the Sabbath day. He was working. Again, the hypocrisy of that. Every Sabbath day, they would lead their livestock off to watering. But Jesus was in trouble for making clay and helping a blind man see. Again, it was on purpose. Now we see here division and debate about Jesus. And the Pharisees begin to attack this man's faith. And that's exactly what they will do for you also, if they refuse to believe. As you testify of Jesus Christ, expect this. They will begin to attack your faith, especially in the classroom. The university classroom is one of the worst places to try to testify for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it says in verse 15, then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. They know. They've heard the stories, that's why he was brought to them. Notice they're asking him. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. They know that Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Now again, pause there just a moment. As I've already pointed out, Jesus is not violating the Sabbath laws of the Old Testament, or he'd be a sinner. Jesus is violating the man-made commands of the Sabbath, and that's why he's in trouble. He is not sinning against God. He's not violating God's law. It says in verse 16 again, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? That's an honest question. And notice here this statement, and there was a division among them. There's going to be a division and a debate about Jesus. It's been going on for 2,000 years now. People are still debating about Jesus today. But again, they're attacking his faith. Now, verse 17 and following, you notice here something else. For you to testify for the Lord Jesus Christ, you must remove fear of testifying for him. We must remove fear of speaking up for Jesus. It says in verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? That he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. So now they're asking this man to say, you know, to tell them, what do you think about Jesus? Now, if he had said, you know, he's the Son of God right up front, he'd been in big trouble. Now, they don't even like his answer here that he's a prophet. We'll come back to his answer here in just a moment. But he says he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. All right, so he has sight. Now here's these Pharisees saying, I don't believe that you were blind. You must have some twin or something, because we don't believe that you were blind. Now, they're trying to let him off here, but they refuse to believe. You think about the stubborn unbelief of these religious leaders. They saw the miracles. They even acknowledged the miracles took place. In fact, they even acknowledged that Jesus said he would rise from the dead. Remember Matthew 28? They bribed the soldiers to come up with a story as to why his body was missing. Why? Because they refused to believe. Stubborn unbelief. The obvious miracles here. Notice it says in verse 18 again, the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. All right, so we don't believe you, so we're going to call in your parents. Now, this is a grown man. He should be able to testify for himself. Well, we don't believe you, so we're going to ask your parents. They're going to tell us the truth. You won't. Verse 19. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? Now notice their answer. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Now we're going to see here that that is not true. That is not true. Obviously by this point, this blind man has talked to his parents and said, I see because what Jesus did. But they're going to refuse to acknowledge Jesus had any part of this for a reason, because of fear. We know that this is our son, that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. He's a grown man. He's an adult. Why do we have to answer for him? That's a cop out. And I want to point out here that this man's parents could not be excited for their son seeing because of fear. Did you notice that? They could not rejoice with their son because of fear of the religious leaders. What a horrible situation. You know, I think of situations where a parent wants a child to be delivered from destructive habits. Drugs, alcohol, various things. And finally their lives are changed because they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, these unbelieving parents are upset because you turned to religion? Well, let me ask you. Aren't you happy that your child is delivered? Something that you've wanted for years? Notice here again the agony that they had because of fear of religious leaders. It says in verse 22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. We'll come back to that statement here in just a moment, because they actually put him out, the blind man out, the blind man that now saw, out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Again, it wasn't because they didn't know, because they were afraid. But we see in this passage here that this man was very bold. Very bold as in his testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind, and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. We know this man's a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. You think again of the chorus that we just sang a little while ago. Once I was blind, but now I can see. There's the evidence of what Jesus Christ can do. Once I was blind. Once I was a lost sinner going to hell. I'm on my way to heaven. Again, the power of a transformed life. It says in verse 26, then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? I love his boldness here. Verse 27, he answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. You aren't listening, are you? Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Notice the boldness there. This man does not have fear before these religious leaders who have the power to excommunicate him from Jewish society. Will ye also be his disciples? Notice the derision here. Some will attack your faith as you testify for him. Notice it says, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. I want you to notice here the word reviled. It means to rail on someone. Here's these religious leaders, they're starting to rail on this man just because he's received his sight. And he's giving a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word, reviled means to scorn or disdain someone. To put someone in derision. But you notice here the arrogance. The arrogance, the self-righteous religious pride of these men. Listen to their statement again. You are his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know what this book says. You're just a follower of Jesus. These are religious people that supposedly knew what this book says. And they're disdaining someone. They're ridiculing, reviling someone because of a testimony for Jesus Christ. Verse 29. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Yes, they did. By way of two sources. Jesus' own words. He's already told them, I am from the Father. Not only that, but their Old Testament scriptures told exactly the time that Jesus was to come. Remember Micah 5:2? The religious leaders told Herod where to find the king of the Jews. But they didn't have time. They were too busy doing their religious activities. Number 4, I want you to consider also, we must increase our understanding of Jesus. We must increase our understanding of Jesus. If you're going to testify effectively, I believe you need to get to know Jesus more and more. You need to understand more and more about him. I lost my place here. Notice with me John chapter 9, verse 11. I want you to notice this, the increase in understanding that this man has about who Jesus is. John 9, verse 11. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus. Notice that statement. A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received his sight. By his own testimony, he calls Jesus a man called Jesus. Now also verse 17. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? That he hath opened thine eyes? He said, notice this statement, he is a prophet. He's raised above the level of a man called Jesus now. Now he's a prophet. Again, he has an increased understanding of who Jesus is. Now, verse 30 through 33. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. You have to admit there's a miracle that takes place, he says. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. He's quoting from the Old Testament. Now, remember, these men that he's talking to take pride in thinking they know the Old Testament. And here this man is quoting from several sources in the Old Testament law. We know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? To him the miracle confirmed who Jesus really was. Verse 33, notice this statement. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. So this is a man called Jesus. He's a prophet. He's of God. But it doesn't stop there. I want you to notice also here it says, verse 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? They cast him out. They cast him out. Now, this is an excommunication in the Jewish culture. From what I've read, when they excommunicated him from the Jewish culture, this is what happened. No Jew could hire him. All right, so he's no longer having to beg because he's blind. But now because he's been excommunicated from the synagogue membership, no Jew can legally hire him, according to their Jewish law. Also, his family would disown him. You know, his parents did not stand up for him. After he was excommunicated from the synagogue, his parents probably had nothing to do with him. And that still happens in Jewish culture today, if somebody believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. You also become an outcast of society. Of society, but I have a feeling that he became a key part of the church in Jerusalem. Now, the Pharisees had an unteachable spirit here. In essence, what they're saying is, don't you go quoting the Bible to us. You're a follower of Jesus. Don't you go quoting the Bible to us. We know what the Bible says. And we don't believe in Jesus. Notice it says in verse 35 through 38, though, he comes to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is the Son of God as he increases his understanding of who Jesus is. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, here's the question Jesus asks, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Remember, he's never seen Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Can you imagine the faith that dawned on the man's soul as he understood who Jesus really is? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he, notice, worshiped him. Faith leads to greater understanding who Jesus is, and faith leads to worship. How strong is your faith today? How strong is your faith today? As I've been saying throughout the Gospel of John, our modern day would not accept the Bible Jesus. They'll accept the hippie Jesus, but they won't accept the Bible Jesus. You see, they're going to accept a Jesus that is tolerant of all religions. They're going to accept a Jesus that accepts everyone as they are with no changes expected. You notice here again, this man has an increasing understanding of who Jesus is. And because of that, it gave him a powerful testimony to those around him. Now, as far as the real Jesus, notice it says in verse 39 and following, as Jesus finds an application to these religious leaders. It says in verse 39, and Jesus said, "For judgment, I am come into the world." Peace! See, our world loves a peace-loving Jesus. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus himself said, "I have come to bring a sword or division." Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and that they which see might be made blind." Now, notice what Jesus is saying there. This man who was born blind could see who Jesus was. These religious leaders who could see were blinded to who Jesus was. He's confronting them in their unbelief. Verse 40. "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto them, Are we blind also?" You can hear the sarcasm in their voice. "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." What's he saying? You guys might be religious. You're going to die in your sins because you refuse to believe in the only payment for your sin. That's the real Jesus. In fact, Romans 11:25 says that there's a spiritual blindness in Israel that continues today. It's only a small remnant of Jews that will believe in the Messiah. Someday is coming, I believe during the tribulation period, when every Jew that is alive at that point will believe in Jesus Christ as he comes back. That all Israel might be saved, it says in Romans chapter 11. Blindness in part, the Bible says. The blindness of Israel. But let me point out here that religion blinds people to faith in Christ. Did you hear what I said? Religion blinds people to faith in Christ. It's the religious person that Jesus says in Matthew 7 is going to say, "Lord, Lord, did we not do all kinds of things in thy name?" There are multitudes of religious leaders who name the name of Christ. In fact, I just read a blasphemous statement about a quote-unquote preacher here this last week. Denies the resurrection. He denies the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he ridiculed the faith of those who stand for the truth of the Word of God by saying, "Well, I guess I'm going to go to hell then, because I don't believe in Jesus rising from the dead." And I'm thinking, that's exactly what's going to happen to you because you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The religious leader. Religion blinds people to faith in Christ. This morning I want to ask two things. First of all, how is your testimony for the Lord? How is your testimony for the Lord? If somebody were to put you on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence? If you were brought before the leaders of the nation for being a Christian or a follower of Jesus, would there be enough evidence to convict you? This man had a powerful testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he wasn't worried about what the religious leaders thought. How is your testimony for the Lord today? Let me point out also here, you cannot have a testimony for Christ until you know him as Savior. Until you place your faith in Jesus Christ, there's absolutely no way you can have a testimony for him. Oh, you can go to church, you can call yourself a Christian. I read this last week that 90-some percent of Americans call themselves a Christian. And that we are the most wicked point of our nation in all its history. Basically what they're saying by that is, well, I'm not a Muslim, I'm a Christian. That's basically what they're saying by that. That's not the question of whether or not you're going to call yourself a Christian. The question is, have you believed in Jesus Christ for salvation? As you think about the question, I think it was a hymn that we're going to be singing here in just a moment. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? I pray that everyone here knows Christ as Savior today. But let me point out here also, this man did not have to know everything about Jesus in order to believe in him. From time to time I meet people that they have some questions they want answered before they'll believe in Jesus Christ. I believe there's multitudes in hell today because they waited for their answers. Their questions to be answered for too long. They waited too long. You see, you don't have to have all the answers before you can believe in Jesus and be a testimony for him. Father, I pray that you'd help us in these things here today. Thank you for the power of a transformed, a changed life. The testimony of that. Lord, this man had a powerful testimony before even these religious leaders, even though they rejected that testimony, because of what Jesus did in his life. Lord, I pray that there would be evidence in our lives. I pray there would be evidence that we are a Christian. In fact, I think in Acts chapter 11 that the world called the Christians in Antioch a Christian. Too many times we are quick to take the title ourselves. A follower of Jesus is what they call him, a disciple of Christ. The world saw that they were a Christian. How true is that for us, Lord? How is our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, I pray here today, if there's somebody that does not know Christ as Savior, maybe they've been blinded by religion, maybe even a prayer that they said, or being baptized, or anything like that. Maybe they've been blinded by some religious activity to the fact that they have not placed their faith only in Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd help us to see these things today. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.